All right. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I'm glad I'm here tonight for another lesson in our theme. None like him. With capital H, capital I, H-O, capital M. None like him. And we're glad that he is that and we know we are not. And tonight we're going to be led. We're going to talk about God again, how he is eternal. He's timeless. And I cannot even comprehend that, but we'll understand it better after this lesson, presented by Marilyn LaRue. Let me tell you a little bit about Marilyn. She's been married to Clint for 23 years. They have three children. There's Wesley, who is 18 years old, Natalie, 16 years old, and Colby, at 13 years old. And they're all active at in the youth group here at MRCC. Clint and Marilyn started attending MRCC. She says, when we moved here as college students, and we're still here. So you were college students here. You met here as college students, married, and they've never left. It's a great love story. It's a love story between you two and this congregation, this church home. She says, for 20 plus years, Clint and Marilyn were a part of the young couples class. And it was renamed Christian Families because they weren't young couples anymore. You know, that happened to our class, too. We started out as the 30-something. That was a long time ago when this changed. Okay. Last June, they moved to the Dwell class as the new elder shepherd couple in that class. She enjoys walking outdoors, and today was a beautiful day for that, wasn't it? She enjoys walking outdoors, baking, playing the piano. She can accompany us when we go on the road. Okay. And spending time with her family. And so now let us listen to Marilyn.
Good evening, everyone. I see many familiar faces in here tonight. Some of you that I don't know, but a lot of you know I know through various ministries that I've been a part of at Memorial Road, and we've met at many different times over the years. I am Marilyn LaRue. I have been at Memorial Road for about 20 years. Now, it wasn't completely true that Clint and I have been here since college. We did leave for a couple years. We went back to Oregon, which is where I'm from, and then came back. So we were not officially here the whole time, but it was wonderful that we wanted to come back. Yes, it was. So I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon, and I have five sisters. I had a wonderful Christian family that I was raised in, and I'm very grateful for that. I came to Oklahoma to attend OC, and that was where I met my husband, Clint. Clint came from East Texas. He's from a family of four boys in rural East Texas. I'm from a family of six girls in a big city, West Coast. So it would be an understatement to say that we had a few surprises about culture, family, had to get used to some things when we first met. Clint's family would watch the movie Rocky on repeat. I had never watched that till we were married. My family had watched Anne of Green Gables on repeat. I still don't think Clint has watched the entire movie of Anne of Green Gables, but we've been very blessed by each other. In our 23 years that we've been married, we've been very blessed by each other's families as well. One thing, I'll show you a couple pictures. There's Clint and me. One thing you'll notice in my pictures tonight, I was telling Sue this, is the beautiful scenery. Most of these pictures are from Oregon. This is on the Oregon coast, the beautiful but chilly Oregon coast. I don't know, is Kathy Pollock in here tonight? I don't see her. She and I were just visiting. She went to the Oregon coast recently with Dean, and it was funny, one Sunday morning she was showing me a picture, and she was bundled up, like had a hood on, head to toe. She even had gloves on, and I think this was in August when she went. This picture was in July. So yes, we both have our fleeces on. So you're not going to the beach. You are going to the coast when you go to the Oregon coast, but it's one of our favorite places. Again, in the Northwest, this was at Lake Roediger in Washington, close to where one of my sisters lives. So Clint and I also have three children, as Barbara mentioned. We have Wesley and Natalie and Colby. There they are. Definitely not now. But they're little and cute and cuddly. And now, let's see, here's a more updated photo. Those are our big and cute and not quite as cuddly kids now. Here we are in the magnificent Columbia River Gorge. This is up Multnomah Falls. I know a couple of you have been there on trips. So really, if you ever get a chance to travel in the Northwest, it's just a beautiful place. I love that my kids are now getting to experience these places that were in my backyard really growing up that my family went to, and that they are able to experience these. Most of my family still lives in the Northwest, so we travel there regularly, and so that my kids are able to spend time with extended family. So our three children, Wesley's a senior, Natalie's a junior, and Colby's in the eighth grade, and they're all a joy to us, and most importantly, all three of them love the Lord. Well, after Clint and I met at OC, I majored in early childhood and elementary education. We met, we got married, I started teaching kindergarten in the public schools here. I taught a few years before quitting so that I could stay home with our babies as we had them. That didn't last very long. I think it was shortly before Wesley's first birthday, and I got a phone call one evening in August from Alyssa McCook. She was the director of Memorial Road Sunshine School program at the time, and she desperately needed a teacher for the school year that I think started the next week. I remember it was a really quick turnover. And so that was how I got started at Sunshine School. I taught several years, and then after that, I transitioned to what I do now, which is being co-director with Stephanie Langley. And we started at the same time, and we are in our 12th year of doing that together, which is really hard to believe that we have done that for so long. So thank you, Alyssa, for asking me on that August evening, I think 17 years ago. So. I love being a part of Sunshine School. It's really an important outreach ministry. About half the kids that attend, their families are not a part of the church. And so we are just able to plant seeds and share with the kids the love of Christ. And so I'm really grateful for that opportunity that I have there. It's pretty unusual for me to be in adult Bible class on Wednesday night. I was trying to think through the last time I was, and I can't remember when it was. I've gone to a couple of the WOW classes in the summer. But before that, wow, I probably have to go back almost 10 years or so. I normally teach kindergarten. I've been doing that the last several years since some of you may know Coralie Risley. She taught that class for many years, and when she moved to Missouri to take care of her parents, Joyce Estes and I took over that class. So Joyce teaches on Sundays, and I teach it on Wednesdays. So I know many of you, because your kids or grandkids have been in there. Just looking around tonight, I thought, wow, I had Micaiah, I remember, several years ago. I'm not sure how old he is now. If I was in class tonight, Stella, I know what her prayer request would be. It's the same one every week. It is that her little brother will have a good Bible class. So lots of you, I know from your kids or grandkids that I've either had at Sunshine School or in Bible classes over the years here. I really enjoy teaching the kindergarten class. It's very interactive, which lets me get to know the kids really well. And I mentioned Stella's prayer request, and the prayer request time is my favorite part. Every Wednesday night, I go around to every single child, and I ask them their prayer request for the night. Some kids don't have a prayer request, and that's fine. They can pass. Some of the kids have very funny prayer requests, as you'd imagine, for 5- and 6-year-olds. Some of them have serious prayer requests. Some of them repeat the same one every time. I have heard some family secrets. We've heard baby announcements over the years, so you never know exactly what they're going to ask for their prayer requests. But really, we're just trying to get them in the habit of talking to God and bringing their praises and requests to God. And so I love that part of the Bible class that I get to lead normally on Wednesday nights. So with my normal Bible class time spent with 5- and 6-year-olds and my weekdays at Sunshine School spent with kids, they're all they're pre-K and under, so about 5 and younger. I'm not normally teaching adults, so this is definitely not the norm. Try not to sing too many songs or jingles. That's what we call them in early childhood education. Try not to do too many rhymes. One thing I always do before I start a Bible story, whether it's at Sunshine School or whether it's in the kindergarten Bible class, is I always start it with a song to bring their focus to the story. There's a kind of a rotation of 5 or 6 songs that I normally sing. One of them is very short, very simple. It's the Bible, we love the Bible. It is God's word. And it's just a simple reminder. The truth of the Bible is in God's word. And I give these reminders purposely to the kids every week. And hopefully it's sinking into them and they're remembering the Bible is true. It's the word of God. I want them to know it's the living, breathing word of God. That means even for us as adults, it's coming alive as we're reading it. And whether those are preschoolers at Sunshine School, 5 and 6-year-olds in the kindergarten class, or us ladies here tonight, it's applicable for us in our life no matter what point we are at. And we all need to be in the word. We all need to be learning more about God and having our faith grown as we're studying his word. So that's what we're here to do together. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Mary Ann and Robin and Karen and all those others who have helped get ready for this class. I know there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes and coordinating and subbing often. none like him. So that is our focus this quarter as we learn to reflect the image of God. So many times I think that we try to work on the ways that we can, what qualities we can possess, wonderful qualities, maybe qualities like love, mercy, compassion, all things that we want in our lives. But I really appreciate this study this quarter that these are things that we do not have. These are things that only God has, and such a good way for us to get to know God better. You know, there's so much chaos in the world around us. Sometimes it may feel like things are out of control in your life. Things certainly seem out of control when we watch the news, but God isn't surprised by any of it. Nothing throws God off. God is sovereign. He's fully in control. He's the ultimate ruler of heaven and earth. And we do live in a broken world where evil exists, but we don't have to live in fear or be filled with anxiety. Really, this world has always been a scary place, but I think now with technology, we see that scary up close. We have access to it all the time, whether it's on the news, whether we're seeing it on social media, and we weren't made with that capacity to be able to handle all of that at once. So during times when it becomes too much, we just have to remember to trust God. We know that he's already defeated death and claimed victory. As we're learning in this class this fall, God is infinite and he is incomprehensible. God is self-existent. God is self-sufficient. He is eternal and immutable. He is omniscient and omnipotent. God is sovereign. And tonight we're going to focus on ways that God is eternal. We'll start tonight in Revelation. God is unbound by time. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And these opening lines of Revelation declare to us that God is truly unlimited time, so much so that he determines the beginning and the end. He's the God of the past and the present and the future. That means the past doesn't hold any missed opportunities for him. The present doesn't hold anxiety for him. The future doesn't hold uncertainty for him. God was, he is, and he is to come. I love this quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She says, every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. What an amazing perspective that is. Now, we are all products of our generation. Most of us will live 70 to 80 years. I looked up the latest data, which was back in 2023, and it said in the United States, the average female will live 81 years. Interestingly, when you break it down by state, Oklahoma is down to 75 years. I'm not sure why. Hawaii was the highest. But we're all shaped by the events that happen during our lifespan. An age difference of about 30 years can cause two people to look at the exact same issue completely differently. I recently saw a small example of this in my own family. So between our three children, we are at two different schools, and I have learned over time that my kids have some administrators and teachers that are quite witty, and they really are very humorous. So recently, I was reading a message from one of these administrators, and I found myself chuckling, and I just thought, oh, that is really good. I have to share this with Clint. So that night at dinner, I told Clint about this, and I knew all my kids knew this administrator. And I ended up getting up from the table, getting my phone, and bringing it back so I could read exactly what this administrator had written in the email. So I read it, and Clint immediately started laughing, and he validated exactly what I had felt. This guy is funny. But do you know who wasn't laughing? Our kids. They all had a straight face and looks that said, why are you laughing? There is nothing funny about that. So, a difference in generations. We all see things differently. And I can think of things, you know, much more serious in culture that people view very differently. But it's because we're all a product of our time, of the different experiences we've had. And that is something that, since we each are of a different era, we're going to have a limited perspective. And this is something that, in that way, we could not be any more different than God, because God is not bound by time. So in this book, None Like Him, Jen Wilkins shared a story that I could immediately relate to. I could relate to it because I had very similar experiences when I was teaching kindergarten. While it's similar to hers, I'll give you my experience. When I was teaching kindergarten, we had a daily calendar time. I would bring all the kids to the carpet. We'd sing the song that would gather everybody to their carpet spots. I had my helpers that would help with the different jobs that we would give them. We had something looking similar like to this as we would practice some of our calendar concepts. This one was not from my classroom, but I had one very similar to this. And we would sing songs about the months of the year. We'd sing songs about the days of the week, because you sing everything in kindergarten and pre-K and younger. And it can be a really difficult concept to teach time to kids, to five-year-olds. So when we would be talking about the days, and I might be introducing at the beginning of the week our days, and our new words, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I might start out the beginning of the week, and I'd have my helper with their little Velcro labels, and we put up, yesterday was Sunday, today is Monday, tomorrow will be Tuesday. And we would practice it, and we'd repeat it, and we'd point to how it fit with the calendar. And so then the next day, we would come back to the carpet to repeat it, but it's a new day, so we would move our squares. And we would say, yesterday was Monday, today is Tuesday, tomorrow will be Wednesday. And this is where things would fall apart, because they do not have the concept of time. Confusion would ensue. Some kids would just look completely lost. Some kids would get upset. Yes, some kids would really get upset over a calendar concept. They would say, you know, but teacher, you said that today is Monday. And I'd say, well, no. And we'd go back to the calendar. We'd look at our markers. We'd move them. And they didn't get it. And they probably thought, you know, my teacher doesn't know anything. What is she doing? But really, the problem wasn't with me, the teacher. The problem was with them as the hearer, because of their limited ability to understand it. And this is exactly how we are with God. We can't expect to understand everything that happens this side of heaven, but what we can do is trust our yesterdays, our todays, and our tomorrows with God, because He is the one who was and is to come. God promises us a peace that passes understanding in this verse in Philippians. That's a promise from the Word of God. I recently heard this tidbit that said, about this verse, you have to give up the understanding to have the peace. But wow, that's hard to do. We like to know why. We want to understand why something's happening, but we have to learn to trust God. Now, trusting God with our time means that we need to make good use of the time we are given. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'll start in verse 15. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Now, this version that's on the screen tonight is from the NIV. I read the translation from the King James, and I really like the way it changed, making the most of every opportunity to redeeming the time. And I like that, because that means we are time redeemers. So we are to reclaim our time and not spend it on useless pursuits, but find ways to use it for the glory of God. So, how do we do that? We're going to look at three ways to look at that. We'll look at letting go of the future, letting go of the past first, then letting go of the future, and then living fully present for today. So first, we need to let go of the past. We need to let the past stay in the past, and that can be hard for us to do sometimes. There are two ways we don't do that. One, Jen Wilkins calls sinful nostalgia, and then the other is regret. So let's start with the sinful nostalgia. Now, this is different than the nostalgia of me looking back at that picture of my kids when they were little, having those fun and special memories. She says that the difference is that when you look back and idolize the time that maybe was easier, something was better about that time, that can lead us down a path of discontentment. And the best way to combat discontentment is with gratitude and with counting our blessings and focusing on the gifts that we've been given in the present. So this brought up a memory of mine. When I was in elementary school, my granddad asked each of his grandchildren to write him a letter and include a list of blessings. I don't remember if there was a specific amount. There probably was. But so that was many years ago. Well, fast forward to the COVID shutdown era, and my granddad's no longer living, but my grandma, his wife, brought that back, and she told all of her great-grandchildren, so this would be my children and their cousins, she wanted them to write her a letter and include a list of 100 blessings that resulted from the COVID shutdown. So all three of my kids worked on this. Let's see. They would have been about 13 years old, 15 years old, and 8 years old at the time. So it took a little while, but all three of them came up with a list of 100 blessings that were a result of the COVID shutdown. They mailed their list to their great-grandma, who lives in Oregon, and she sent them a letter, each their own letter in reply, and she also included a monetary reward, because that is what great-grandparents do. But what a good practice for us to be in, no monetary reward or not, to be in the practice of recognizing our blessings and writing them down. So that is something I know I need to remember to be better about. Now, regret is another way that we need to learn to let go of the past, because simply put, if we're dwelling on those past mistakes and hurts that we have in our life, it's robbing us of the joy in the present. A second way that we can be time redeemers is to look forward to the future, but to let the future stay in the future. Now, it's not wrong to look forward to things in the future. My family loves looking forward to trips. We love looking forward to holidays. We recently purchased airplane tickets to travel for the holidays. So there's nothing wrong with that. But what we shouldn't be doing is to constantly covet the next stage and want to be rid of this time that we're in right now, because it steals the gratitude for the moments that we're in. We can also fuel anxiety by living in fear or dread of the future. We fear possible illnesses for ourselves, for a spouse, for relatives, for children, for parents. We may fear the loss of a job. There's a lot of things that we can be anxious about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. as each day has enough trouble of its own. I actually brought with me a book tonight. It's called Breath as Prayer. And this is a book, I think it's marketed, to people that have anxiety, but really I think it's a book for all of us. It says, Breath as Prayer, Calm Your Anxiety, Focus Your Mind, and Renew Your Soul. And this book has 84 prayers in it that are all rooted in Scripture to help focus our mind and our hearts on God's promises. It also adds in a component of breathing to help you calm your body as you're praying. I brought my copy. I'll have it here tonight if anybody wants to look at it after class. This is just an example of one of the pages. Each of the pages is similar to this as you're getting your body relaxed and you're saying Scripture and you're repeating it. The third way that we can be time redeemers is to live fully today, being fully present in the present, because we can get trapped being too lazy or we can get trapped being too busy. The lazy person believes there will always be more time to get around to things. She can spend her day as she pleases. It could be characterized by procrastination, by excuses, missed deadlines. Being lazy believes that the time that God has given us is not precious. But on the flip side, there's the compulsively busy person. This is the person who thinks there's never going to be enough time to get it done. She also believes she can spend her day as she pleases, but she is characterized by overcommitment, by exhaustion. She thinks productivity is the name of the game, but she needs to remember that productivity is not a fruit of the Spirit. That's not something that we need to aim for. I think I have had times in my life where I've been both of these. And at those times, I really have to work to reorder my priorities. God is really the ultimate time redeemer, and he redeems time just at the right time. And as we work to redeem time in our own lives, we can learn to reflect God. In Psalm 90, Moses contrasts the eternal nature of God with the fleeting nature of us, of man. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, Return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Did you hear at the beginning how God is generationless? He's unbound by time. He always has been and always will be. We, however, have numbered days, and we need to learn to live each day well. We live in a world that idolizes youthfulness. It was funny when you were introducing us, and you said you enjoy, or you're introducing me and Clint, but you said you enjoy getting to meet younger folks. Oh, well, thank you. Because now that Clint and I are no longer in the older Christian families class and we're in the dwell class, which is 20-somethings, we don't feel as young anymore. But that's how our culture is. Everybody wants to be young. Nobody wants to age. They don't want their age to show. In 2023, the anti-aging industry was worth $47 billion, and it was projected to get to $80 billion in the next 10 years. And it's easy to get sucked into that kind of thinking. But on this side of heaven, the only real investments we can make that are eternal are in people. Isaiah chapter 40 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." So flowers fade, bodies fade, sports fade, jobs fade. We need to store up for ourselves treasures that are in heaven. We need to spend our days well, prioritizing relationships over material gain. We need to spend our time impacting people for eternity. For me, that's primarily children. It's discipling my own children, but also the children that I interact with in Sunshine School, in my Bible class, anywhere I come in contact with them. Some of that is because of my background, my education, the training I've had, but some of it's just a natural interest and ability. But think about, who is it for you? Who is it that's in your natural sphere of influence? And prioritize your time on earth to influence those people towards Christ. I think we're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, think to the last line of that where it says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." And what's the last word? Forever. So God will lead us to him. He will lavish his kindness, his goodness, and his love on us for all eternity. And that's our goal, and that's our desire. And so we want to make sure that our time here reflects that. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That's wonderful. You know, as you were talking, and I was thinking, some of those things just, you know, kind of leap out at you, some of those concepts, when you know that, but you don't always, you know, it's hard. It's interesting. When we live day to day, but God created us to be eternal, and we lose perspective of that, don't we? And you said something in your talk, you talked about how God is not anxious. Of course he's not, because God sees, he knows what went before, he knows what's going on now, and he knows the future. And it made me remember how a few years ago I was trying to figure out, how can that be? And so I had to have a way of thinking about it. So let me share that with the rest of you, see if this is helpful. Think about a timeline. In your mind, draw a line. And if you were to have that line represent God, okay, it's backward. This would be the beginning for you. You'd draw an arrow there, wouldn't you? There'd be an arrow because he was never created. There's no beginning to God, so he's back there. Okay, and follow that timeline. Well, you can't really come to an end. You'd have to draw an arrow there. So that's eternity. And on that, we have a place on that line. It's right about here, you know, because we have a beginning. But you know what? We don't have an ending. If somewhere along the line, there's a cross there, and that's where we have a new birth. And that's part of our start of eternity. And there's no end. So here's the interesting part. We're drawing that line about God, an arrow on each end. But God's not on that line. He's out here. And that's why he can see before we were born, our present, and our future. It's all there, and he's all-knowing. He's infinite. And so that helped me understand that concept. Maybe it will you too. But I love the way you brought it down day to day too. And I love your book, Breath is Prayer. I was listening to a podcast recently, and their child was having some issues. A young child was having some anxiety, and they taught them to pray. Just take it, Jesus. Take it, Jesus. That breathing. We breathe because we're finite creatures, but we can respond. We can reach out to someone who's infinite. And that's amazing. So this is a great lesson to remind us of who we are, but more importantly, who he is. And you did a wonderful job of explaining that. Thank you, Marilyn. Well, let's end up with a prayer, and you'll just have a little bit of time to visit, okay? Father, we come to you at this time, at this place. But we know, Father, that you are unending, that you are in every of our times and every of our places. And we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you that in our anxious days, we can know that you have the future, you have our present, and you have our future. And regardless of our past, Father, you have our present, and you have our future. And we thank you for that, God. Help us to always remember that. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.